Judges chapter 21, and we'll be reading from verse 1 through verse 15. Let me remind you of where we've been in the book of Judges. We've seen that the book of Judges covers a period of several hundred years after Joshua has come into the promised land. We've seen that there's this continual pattern through the first part of God's people falling into sin, God chastening them with oppression from foreign nations, then them responding eventually in repentance, and upon that repentance, God delivering them, but delivering them by a means, by sending a military leader slash judge who would rule over them. And they would be delivered, and there would be a time of peace, but eventually they would fall back into their same pattern of sin. We looked at that first part, and then we picked up the second part of this book, somewhat of an appendix, as we began in chapter 17. And chapter 17 and 18 deal with the man named Micah, and how in this period of sin, when men did that which was right in their own eyes, there was much idolatry. And we see this man of Micah making idols, and then we see the Benjamites actually taking these idols and worshiping them falsely in this city that they have established, the Danites in a city that they've called Dan. But then in chapters 19 through 21, we see not only that idolatry dominated, but sexual sin also dominated that period. We see this man who was from Mount Ephraim. He was an Ephraimite. He had married a woman from Bethlehem. She had left him and gone back to her father. He eventually goes to get her. And as he's returning, he comes to Gibeah, the Benjamites, and this woman is abused to death there. And so he takes her body, cuts her body into 12 pieces, and sends her to the 12 tribes, her pieces, body parts, to the 12 tribes. And the 12 tribes are appalled that such sin would go on within this God-given land. And so they call for a council, and all but the Benjamites, as well as one city of Jabesh-Gilead, fail to show up. And then they go and try to deal with the Benjamites. They tell the Benjamites, hey, give us the guilty men. And the Benjamites refuse to do so. And so the other 11 tribes come upon the Benjamites. They lose two battles, and then eventually God is pleased to cause them in justice, but also in wrath, to destroy all but, I think it's 600 Benjamite fighting men. And we pick up the story there in chapter 21. Now let us hear God's word. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. Now the men of Israel had sworn in Mizpah, saying, there shall not any of us give his daughter unto Benjamin to wife. And the people came to the house of God, and abode there till even before God, and lifted up their voices, and wept sore, and said, O Lord God of Israel, why is this come to pass in Israel, that there should be today one tribe lacking in Israel? And it came to pass on the morrow that the people rose early and built there an altar and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the children of Israel said, who is there among all the tribes of Israel that came not up with the congregation unto the Lord? For they had made a great oath concerning him that came not up to the Lord to Mizpah, saying, he shall surely be put to death. And the children of Israel repented them for Benjamin their brother, and said, there is one tribe cut off from Israel this day. How shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing we have sworn by the Lord that we will not give them of our daughters to wives? And they said, what one is there of the tribes of Israel that came not up to Mizpah to the Lord? And behold, there came none to the camp from Jabesh-Gilead to the assembly. For the people were numbered, and behold, there were none of the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead there. And the congregation sent thither 12,000 men of the valiantest and commanded them, saying, Go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the edge of the sword and with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male, and they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak to the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peacefully unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead. And yet so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribes of Israel. Let's end the reading of God's holy, inspired word. Just a few comments on this section. We see the zeal expressed against the wickedness of the Gibeonites. We see that the 11 tribes are prepared to destroy the cities and to destroy them. We also see that they're prepared to destroy the city of those that wouldn't come up and participate with them, the city of Jabesh-Gilead, in the exercise of justice upon these Benjamites. And we see also that they had committed as well not to give their daughters to the Benjamites. They said, not only are we going to war against the Benjamites, but we're never going to give our daughters to them either. Whatever this war, if there's a peace settlement, if there's any of them left, we're never giving our daughters to them. But they wiped out all of their tribe. But then we see at the same time, having done that, they now have a deep concern for the fact that they've nearly destroyed a full tribe of their nation. It says in verse 6 and verse 15 that they repented of what they had done. I think what we can see is that they didn't repent of their zeal, but they repented that their zeal went overboard. They went too far. Matthew Henry gives several observations concerning this. He says, one, there may be overdoing in well-doing. There may be overdoing in well-doing. He also says that even necessary justice is to be done with compassion. We learn from this that lesson. That justice needs to be executed, but it needs to be executed with compassion. We're to love justice and mercy and walk humbly with our God, we're told. But he also says that strong passions make for work of repentance. We learn that lesson here. And he also says that we learn another lesson, and this they did carry out. In a civil war, no victories ought to be celebrated. Nothing to celebrate when there's a civil war. It's a shame. It's horrifying. And there's no victory there. So we see that. And then we also see how they expressed themselves in their concern. They grieved for Benjamin, but they went to the house of God, we're told, in verse 3. We're told they also sought a treaty with these 600 refugees from Benjamin, who were hiding out in a cavern in the rock Rimmon. We also see that they took care to be able to provide these 600 men with wives. And we see how they actually did it. And so, well, there's 400 marriageable women from Jabesh-Gilead, the city in which these men didn't come up and then didn't take the oath that we took to keep their daughters from marrying these men. So we'll give them those 400 women. We'll see next Lord's Day, Lord willing, how they acquired another 200 women so that all of these 600 men of fighting age, 20 or older, would have wives, and how the tribe of Benjamin could be replenished. The tribe of Benjamin, from this point on, remains the smallest tribe within Israel. But it does remain as a tribe. And so you see that God's people ought to be concerned for God's people, whatever tribe we're in. We see some ecumenical concern here in the Old Testament church for the various tribes and the various peoples that lived at different places. And they also saw the importance of marriage and the place for marriage as a protection, but also as a furtherance of the next generation of God's people to serve the Lord.